Hello, and welcome to the Logistics Management Podcast Series. My name's Jeff Berman. I'm Group News Editor for Logistics Management Magazine and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group. Today, it's a real pleasure to welcome Tom Nightingale to our podcast. Tom's a longtime friend of both Logistics Management and Peerless Media, and he serves as the CEO of AFS Logistics, LLC, a 3PL and freight audit and payment company headquartered in Shreveport, Louisiana. Prior to AFS, Tom served as president and CEO of International Package Shipping and its operating companies. He has also held leadership roles at Genco, now known as FedEx Supply Chain, Modus Link, Conway, now known as XPO Logistics, and also Schneider National. Tom has a master's in business administration from Syracuse University, a bachelor in marketing management from Siena College, and also serves on the spot of several organizations, including Syracuse University's Franklin Supply Chain Advisory Board, the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals, and formerly the Warehouse Education Research Council and Women in Trucking. Hey, Tom, welcome to our podcast.
Jeff, thanks. It's great to be here. I really appreciate the invitation to chat with your audience today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to catch up. Tom, I thought a good place for us to jump off for our talk today would be your collaboration with a New York-based investment firm, Cowen. You guys are now putting together a pretty cool report called the Cowen AFS Freight Index. As you told me a few weeks back when we talked about this, it's kind of unique in the sense that it provides sort of a forward-looking way of viewing the pricing and rate environment. I'll pass the mic to you. Why don't you tell me a bit about the report, how it came to be, and really the core objectives of it?
Absolutely. And it really is an exciting collaboration between the two organizations. AFS has been around for 39 years, and we have audit and payment visibility to over $10 billion worth of freight spend across all modes.
Okay.
When I joined the company, I realized pretty quickly that that was a treasure trove of information. Particularly to the right audience. Cowen has such a long and respected history in the stock market and specifically in advising people on the trends in supply chain, transportation, and logistics. It seemed like a natural fit for the two companies to collaborate. Our data scientists have done some amazing work teasing out some of the insights in that $10 billion worth of freight audit and payment data. Mm-hmm. And then Cowen, in turn, has really done a neat job of trying to tie that back to stock performance and giving their clientele and our customers, for that matter, some insights into the direction that the market is headed, both in the financial markets and in the freight markets.
Okay, great. Now, I can't remember. I should know this, but Tom, correct me if I'm wrong. Is the frequency of this report quarterly?
That's correct. We will release this every quarter, pretty much at the beginning of the quarter, as soon as the prior quarter wraps up, to give us enough advanced visibility into the upcoming quarter or what's left of that quarter to have meaning both for our clientele and for Cowen's customers as well.
Okay. And how's it been received so far? How's it going?
So far, exceptionally well. The market was very excited to see it. It picked up a lot of attention, a lot of coverage, and we think we'll continue to do so as our machine learning and our AI really kicks in over an extended horizon and we get even further reaching insights into where the market is headed.
Okay, awesome. That sounds really good, really cool. And we did cover it in Logistics Management Online a little over a week ago. So listeners, if you want to go check it out and learn a little bit more, you can go access that at logisticsmgmt.com. So Tom, let's shift gears for a few minutes. I know we talked about this last time, but just what a wild world we are living in when it comes to the supply chain these days. And something that's, I think, top of mind, obviously, at least according to the calendar, although you might think we're a month past it, is, really the onset of peak season. Here we are nearly at the end of October. Things are ramping up. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of variables. How are you guys approaching peak season sort of from a service perspective? How are your shipper customers holding up? Like what's sort of the communication there? How do you guys approach it from that perspective?
Yeah, it's a timely and clearly very passionate topic for a lot of people at this point. We're seeing, the supply chain as a whole becoming a discussion topic on mainstream media, up to and including late night television these days. So clearly, it's gotten a lot of people's attention, and consequently, it's gotten a lot of our customers' attention. So across our 1,700 customers, we see varying degrees of panic, but they are all panicked to some extent. Everybody's worried because it has become such a boardroom level discussion. And what we've done to help our clients cope with this is, our organization is non-asset based and non-asset biased, which means we are able to pivot a customer's volumes between carriers and see the on-time performance trends across a multitude of carriers, so that if one carrier is dropping the ball or struggling to make pickups or their network is congested, within a matter of minutes, we can recalculate not only the best possible combination of carriers, but also the pricing impact to our clients. And that nimbleness has been a real benefit for our clients as the panic sets in relative to peak season and how they're going to cope with the challenges that are all ahead of us in peak season.
I mean, there's, everywhere you look, especially these issues as it relates to what's happening at the ports, for example. It's kind of strange days, to say the least. I don't know if you were to ballpark, Tom, how long you think we'll be dealing with this sort of uncertain nature of all things supply chain. I've heard estimates saying that things will be clear by the middle of next year, and then I've also heard that it may not be till the end of 2023 or so. Not putting you on the line, but what is your sense if you were to come up with a time frame?
Yeah, and I hate to sound like I'm riding the fence, but I think that the best case scenario is the second half of next year. The more realistic scenario is really going to be Q1 of 2023.
And then, separate but related, the tight capacity remains a major theme. Carriers, providers, working with carriers really have the sort of the upper hand, if you will, when it comes to pricing power. That doesn't seem to be abating anytime soon, especially when you look at load to truck ratios, for example, and just general equipment imbalances everywhere you look. The price of container, ocean shipping container, has absolutely skyrocketed in the last year and change. Sort of, how are you guys viewing the current rate slash capacity environment at this point in time?
Yeah, it's the question that's on everybody's mind. It's the question that I get faced with every single day. And thankfully, the Cowan and AFS Freight Index that has just come out is giving us forward-looking visibility into this. So, if we break that up by mode, that question by mode, we see truckload carriers taking exceptional price increases right now. They have gotten 24.2% better at getting paid for what they do. With a 10.2% year-over-year growth in their truckload pricing and a 15.2% quarter-over-quarter growth in their pricing from Q3 into this current Q4. LTL, pretty amazing as well. Obviously, there's been a lot of interest in that as networks have gotten congested. Across the LTL network, we're expecting them to finish Q4 32.3% above the 2018 baseline, which is a 7% increase just above the prior quarter. And at the same time, service levels are declining because their networks are so congested.
It's a tough.
It's crazy. And when we think about parcel, we break parcel out into both ground and into express parcel. What we're seeing now are some pretty dramatic general rate increases. FedEx announcing theirs a few weeks ago and UPS announcing theirs just last night. So there are a lot of things coming at us in parcel. Express, for example, we expect that the increases in Q4 holiday season will produce a 22.4 quarter-over-quarter drop, which sounds horrible compared to price increase, the price increase you expect to see in Q4, But what happens in Q4 for express parcels is the average weight per package drops so dramatically that mm-hmm. normally that 22.4 would be a lot more. So that's actually, believe it or not, an improvement based on the pricing power that we've seen the parcel carriers exerting thus far. And that's really even before we get into some of these price increases coming in the form of the GRIs. And then last but certainly not least is ground parcel. The current all-time high of 16.9% above 2018 levels is pretty astounding. And we feel that Q4 will finish at 14.2% above Q3 for ground parcel. And you're starting to see some of the effects kicking in, for example, in the case of FedEx's fuel surcharge, which goes into effect on November 1st.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you look at sort of some of that, those data points, Tom, did you ever think you would see, like, I know, I believe you said for LTL, for example, that from quarter to quarter sequentially, it was something like 7% or 7+% that's really atypical. Is that fair?
It absolutely is. These are unprecedented times. You know, when I was on the asset side of the business and we hit situations which were, you know, I'll say at least somewhat reminiscent of this, we've not seen a capacity shortage as ubiquitous across all modes as we currently have or as exacerbated as we currently have. But even in more mild situations when I was on the asset side of the business, there was an expression that was very common of, it's a good time to be a trucker.
Yeah.
And that's really shorthand for you take price increases when you can, because you fight so hard for them in the downtimes, and the downtimes tend to last a long time. It's such a cyclical business. You know, we understand why they're doing it, but our task is to help our clients mitigate these increases and help mm-hmm. them find that best possible combination of both price and service in light of what is really just an unprecedented market.
Yeah, no question about it. I know we touched upon this at the beginning of our conversation, Tom, you know, just sort of how the supply chain is all encompassing in that you see it on the nightly news, you're seeing it on the front page of major newspapers. You know, I had a conversation with someone a few months into the pandemic, a little over a year ago, saying, you know, you don't really hear much about the supply chain unless everything's going wrong. And, you know, maybe we're back there again now, but I think it also highlights just how important the supply chain is serving as sort of the spine of the global economy. Do you think the importance, the relevance of the supply chain has really, truly, finally hit home? I mean, we got the White House taking action on certain things, trying to with that executive order from earlier this year. It seems like it's finally gotten its proper place at the table, albeit maybe not necessarily for all the right reasons, like the pandemic and things like that. How do you view all that stuff?
Without a doubt, I think that supply chain has become the nexus of the discussion right now. The market was growing. The profession was professionalizing really over the entire span of my career. I think about, you know, 30 years ago when I came out into the workforce, there were very few schools that even offered a degree in transportation, let alone logistics, and certainly not in supply chain. Now, universities, that is proliferating, and you're seeing lots and lots of kids interested in this topic. And you're consequently seeing a real feeder system of talented young people coming into the industry who are rising up to the top and leveraging those skill sets. I mean, you don't have to look any further than one of the most successful companies in the world, which is Apple. And Tim Cook came out of their supply chain. He understands this business. And and that's the kind of future that I think this pandemic is going to accelerate for us, because when there is a crisis and it shines a light on a mission critical function, I don't think you're going to see much backtracking. I mean, it may not be quite as much front page news in a year, but the career trajectories that this sets in motion will be, I think, leave an indelible impact on the entire industry.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, kind of just shifting gears, but staying on the same wavelength, if you will, when we look back, in whether it's 1 year, 3 year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, do you think What do you think will be some sort of the, as we get further along in time, what do you think sort of the, some of the biggest lessons learned we will be talking about resulting of the pandemic in terms of changing how it changed supply chain practices, force people to, I hate the term, but, you know, to think out of the box, do things differently, see what sticks, if you will. What are some of the big takeaways there for lessons learned?
I think it's going to be several things. One is the dramatic shift in buyer behavior and the need for supply chains and logistics professionals in particular to respond to that. You know, the migration of moving from the big box distribution point to the front step distribution point.
Yeah.
That's not going to change. That's not going to come back. I think that we're seeing tremendous changes in the asset-based network and being able to respond to that quickly by leveraging networks of non-asset or asset-light providers has proven to be very, very successful for certain clients of ours this year and being allowed them to be more nimble. And then I think the last thing that you're going to see in terms of major trends is the shift in inventory location and proximity to that customer. So whether it's a shortening of the supply chain, a diversification of your supply base, or a greater regionalization of your warehouse providers, I think what ultimately happens is the inventory carrying cost that goes up will go up in the system, and we're going to see people struggling with inventory carrying costs in ways that we really haven't seen since lean and just-in-time inventory became a thing back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, no question. The topic of the potential regionalization of supply chains is something I've been interested in for quite some time. And it just got me thinking now, Tom, you know, say that really gets legs, that really takes hold. Do you think in a sense that were supply chains to become more regionalized, with warehouses and manufacturing kind of clustered more closer together, shorter transit times, do you think that in a sense, in a roundabout way, could help solve our driver issue if it would reduce the lengths of haul and things like that? Maybe perhaps get more people into the field that don't want to be away from home for a really long time, days on end, et cetera?
Well, I think it will definitely help. I do think that you will see that greater regionalization taking place. You will see the length of haul shortening and therefore drivers more able to get home on a regular basis. And I think that's all positive. But one of the things that the past 30 years have taught me in this industry is that there is no one silver bullet as it relates to drivers. It's a combination of everything. It's pay, it's quality of work, it's quality of life, it's even something as basic as the regulatory stance that you have to be 21 years old to drive interstate, but you can be 18 years old to drive intrastate.
Sure.
You just think about the life changes that happen to an individual between the time they're 18 and 21 and how some of those life changes can preclude them from a very good, very prosperous career. So I know that's on the table legislatively right now, and the ATA has been doing work on that. I think that's interesting. There's just so many different possible additive solutions to this problem, but it's been a problem for a long time. And if there was just one silver bullet, it'd be great. I think it's a combination of all of the above. And certainly to your question, length of haul and the regionalization of warehouses can be one of those bullets.
Yeah. And I know that warehousing is really at a premium these days too, when you look at the rents and the limited inventory, especially close to those major port areas too, and in inland port locations as well. Well, listen, Tom, on behalf of Logistics Management Magazine and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group, it's been terrific to have you on today. So a big thank you to joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you listening in, please feel free to go check out the Cowan AFS Freight Index available online. And also for those of you on Twitter, please feel free to give us a follow simply at LogisticsMGMT. And please go ahead and sign up for our podcast. Just look for Supply Chain 24/7 wherever you get your podcast. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day. We'll see you next time.